Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Cool. All right. Well, good morning on this first weekend of most people's spring break, but I'm pumped that you guys are here. Just to remind you, before we jump in, a couple of things. We do have Easter coming up, and we're actually going to have baptisms on Easter Sunday. So what baptism is celebrating your decision to follow Christ, and it represents you dying to your old self, being raised again with Jesus, which is really what Easter's about, right? We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. So I want to challenge you, if you've made a decision to follow Christ and you haven't been baptized yet, you can still sign up for that. We can get you taken care of, and we can go ahead and do that, and we can celebrate with you on Easter Sunday. And then also, leading up to Easter, the Thursday before Easter, we're actually having a Monday-Thursday service. This will be a very different type of service. We're actually probably are going to be kind of in a circle, and it'll be a really kind of cool time together where we're going to serve each other, and it's going to be a communion service. So I want to challenge you to remember and mark those two things on your calendar and come to those. But I'm pumped. Today we are continuing our series entitled Bless This Home. And if you remember from last week, we all agreed that we want our homes, we want our family lives to be blessed, right? And if you're new here and you weren't here last week, you could probably jump into that with us. You could probably jump in agreement with us to say that, you know what, you want your homes, you want your families to be blessed. It's not really hard to say that, right? But as we stated, when we look around, a lot of the times when we look at ourselves, when we look at others, when we look at others' families, when we look at our own homes, the word blessed is not the first word that comes to mind, right? We look around and we see so many people struggling. We look at ourselves and we see ourselves in a situation where we're struggling as well. There's times in our life where there's tension. There's times in our life where there's problems in our homes, right? Whether it's a marriage problem, whether it's parenting issues, whether it's financial struggles, whether it's dealing with loneliness, whether it's dealing with depression, whether it's dealing with anger, whatever it is, for many of us, we look around in our own lives. We look around in our own homes and we just don't feel blessed. And really, it's an overwhelming feeling. And what we're learning through this series is that so many times we deal with this feeling really the wrong way. We're dealing with these issues in the wrong manner. We're dealing with these struggles in the way that culture points to rather than what Jesus says. And through this series, we're being challenged to think different. We're being challenged to think and to act upon what Jesus says and not culture. So I challenge you to, if you missed any of these messages, you can go back, you can listen to them at our website at www.mylifechangedchurch.com. We actually started this series, it's an 8-part series, we actually started this in the fall and then kind of bounced away from it and then kind of picked it back up last week. And if you remember from last week, we talked about how our homes can experience blessing by being poor in spirit. And even though this sounds like an oxymoron, this is kind of what Jesus did, right? We learn that Jesus kind of flipped the regular way of thinking over to get us to think different. And we learn that being poor in spirit allows us to receive God's blessing. This week, we're going to talk about what it means to mourn and how that leads to blessing. And then next couple weeks, we're going to talk about gentleness and we're going to talk about mercy. And again, all this is coming from Jesus himself. It's coming from his most famous sermon that he ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. And it's the beginning part of this sermon, which is known as the Beatitudes. And it's found in Matthew chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me. You can go to Matthew chapter 5. And again, as always, if you don't have a Bible, I challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. It's an incredible resource that you can put on your phone. You can take with you wherever you go. It can remind you to read your Bible daily because we want you to read your Bibles more than just on a Sunday, but read it daily. And there's plans, there's devotionals, there's different versions as well. It's incredible. But I challenge you to write this passage of Scripture down, Matthew chapter 5. It's a larger passage of Scripture, but maybe highlight it, maybe even commit it to memory so you can take it with you wherever you go. And if you look through this passage of Scripture, each one of these Beatitudes that we're studying, each one that we even read, it's probably going to make you feel a little uncomfortable. You're probably going to feel a little bit of tension with each one of them because really, they're all unnatural. They're really, it's a spiritual part of our life. It's living really countercultural. And it's going against the flow of society. Check this out. It says in verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacekeepers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Today, we're going to jump into verse 4. In verse 4, again, it states, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And really, you can summarize this verse really easy, right? It's actually pretty clear. It's actually pretty simple. Our takeaway for today is that God promises us comfort when we mourn. If you walk away with nothing else, walk away with this. God promises us comfort when we mourn. And really, this is a simple truth. But just because it's simple doesn't mean it's easy. Just because it's simple doesn't mean it's not difficult. And what I want you to do is I want you to understand that this message, it may be a little rougher for some of you today. At least for me, it is. Like, I might be talking to myself because I'm going to talk about some things when I feel like God's really spoke to me and kind of messed me up even in my own life as well. I'm going to be honest with you, this whole concept of mourning is not something I like. It's not something I really even enjoy. In fact, for a long time, I didn't even do it. Right? My wife, Sarah, can attest to this. For like the first years, like 4 years of Sarah and I's marriage, she never saw me cry. And the reason was because I didn't cry. Like, I just didn't want to, right? And we went through some stuff. Like, we went through, this is going to sound messed up, but I'm just going to admit it, right? I went through the death of my grandma, and she didn't even see me cry through that, right? I loved my grandma. But like, I really had got to this point where I was like, I was hardened, right? I didn't allow things to fully affect me. I didn't allow myself to fully mourn. But God was still working on me. God was still working, and He works in funny ways. And again, a little bit of vulnerability here. I'm just going to tell you when I began to cry. Don't ever rent the movie Marley and Me, right? That movie messed me up. Like, that's when I began to cry. And it like kind of just opened the floodgates from then on out. It was like waterfalls. But think about it, what it means to mourn. The word mourn means to show deep sorrow. It means to express regret. It's a form of grieving. And really, if you think about it, mourning is ugly. Mourning is rough. I mean, think about what you look like when you cry. Has anybody ever looked in the mirror when you cry? Probably not, because it's just weird and it's bad. Because that's why it's called the ugly cry. None of us look pretty when we cry. Think about what it's like when you're around people that cry. It's awkward, right? It's a weird to be around somebody that's crying. And I know I should show more compassion, but like, you don't know what to do. Like, you give a side hug, you tell them to suck it up, buttercup. Like, what do you do, right? It's just awkward sometimes when you're around people that cry. Sometimes it's even pathetic. I mean, anybody that cries, sometimes it's just a little bit different. Even dogs are completely pathetic when they cry. This past week, my in-laws went out of town. So we ended up being on dog duty, right? We were dog watching duty, and they have like a 4 or 5 month old German Shepherd. And this dog, even though it's a puppy, it's like ginormous. They call it the vicious attack dog. Let me just tell you, there's nothing vicious about this dog. It's a giant softy, and after hearing it cry all night long, the word vicious is the last thing that comes to mind with this dog. So they brought the dog over Monday night. Monday night was terrible. This dog cried all night long. Now, if you don't know anything about German Shepherds, they like have to have human companionship. They have to have this human interaction. And they have to be around people. We kind of learned this the hard way. So the first night, we're like, okay, we let the dog out of the cage and it was just going to sleep on the floor by our bed. But it was kind of on red alert. Like, every little sound, this dog was up and barking. So it was a pretty good watchdog, too. But listen, when it's like 1:30 at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, like, I do not want a watchdog. I want a dog that's knocked out, tranquilized, and asleep. But every little move, this dog would just wake up and start barking. So I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't deal with this. Like, I couldn't even move my leg with this dog without him freaking out and just panicking. So finally, I'm like, all right, whatever. I'm just going to take this dog. We're going to put it in its cage. The cage was actually downstairs. It was our bedroom's upstairs, so there's a distance between our bedroom and the cage. So we put this dog in the cage, and no joke, it was like 3.5 hours, 4 hours of constant crying, constant weeping. Listen, we're trying to like push through. We have two kids. Like, we know that. I mean, you just let the kids cry for a little bit, they'll eventually go to sleep. Apparently, dogs are different. This thing never went to sleep. It was terrible. Like, literally, it was hell. There was weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm just going to say that, right? Here's this dog, and he's crying. And then finally, we ended up just throwing it outside on a leash for like the last hour and a half a night. Just said, whatever, at least we're going to get an hour of sleep. But what's funny is, the next night, we had talked to somebody, and they say, yeah, the dog just wants to be near you. Even if you would just move the cage up to your bedroom, the dog would sleep through the night. And he did. He was perfect. The next night, he slept perfect all the way through the night. But if you think about it, here's this dog, and he's crying. He's weeping. Why? Because he's separated from us. Because he was separated from his master. Think about that in your life, right? When's the last time that you truly cried because you were separated from your master? When's the last time we wept in our homes and in our families because we were separated from God? In our homes and in our families, there's things that we need to show deep sorrow for and about. In our homes, there's many struggles. There's many things that we go through that really leave us feeling alone and even separated that we need to mourn for. But do we ever truly mourn? I think an obvious struggle that many of us, that we've all probably experienced, if we haven't experienced it yet, we will, but the loss of a loved one, right? Maybe here today, and maybe you've lost a grandparent. Maybe you lost a parent. Maybe you lost a spouse. Maybe you lost a sibling. Maybe you even lost a child, right? For most of us, it comes natural to mourn the loss of a loved one. And if you look back, if you truly mourned, if you truly involved God in that mourning as well, as difficult as it was, you could probably look back and say, you know what, you're stronger now. You could probably look back and see where God comforted you during that time of loss. But the truth is, God wants to comfort us more than in more areas than just in places of loss. He wants to comfort us throughout our lives. And he wants us to mourn for the brokenness in our families. He wants us to mourn for the fact that there's many families, even our families, that maybe that's lacking love. He wants us to mourn for the fact that there's so much abuse found in homes today. He wants us to mourn for the fact that for those who've been sexually abused, he wants us to mourn for those who've been emotionally abused, for those who've been physically abused, for those who have been verbally abused and who continue to be so, right? He wants us to mourn for those who have been neglected. He wants us to mourn for the weaknesses in our homes and our families. Instead of hiding these things, instead of pretending these things don't happen, he's calling us to mourn for these things. He's even calling us to mourn for our sin. When's the last time you really mourned for your sin? When's the last time the sin that you see in your family, the sin that you see in your homes, caused you to even weep, right? Sin is the separation from God. When's the last time we cried over that separation? Listen, this is a tough question. And I'm asking myself the same question as well. But instead of accepting this culture of sin into our homes and into our families, instead we need to grieve over it. As a Christ follower, we're called to grieve over sin. As a Christ follower, we're called to mourn over sin, not enjoy it, not even invite it into our homes like so many times we do through TV, through music, through the internet, right? We're called to mourn over it. If we want our homes to be blessed, we need to get to this point. I know it sounds strict. I know it sounds tough, but the truth is God promises us comfort when we mourn. Problem is, though, that too many times instead of mourning, we fall into hiding. We don't want to address some real issues in our lives. We don't want to address these issues because oftentimes it brings up embarrassment, right? We don't want to address the sin in our lives because of the conflict that's going to ensue because of it. So what do? Instead we go through this whole process. Instead of responding biblically, we respond out of our flesh. We respond really through our natural way, and we go through what's known as five stages of trauma. We start off really in denial. We deny that we have any issues. We deny that the fact that abuse exists, maybe even in our own homes. We deny the fact that people are neglected, maybe even in our own homes, right? We deny the fact that people don't feel loved. We deny the fact that sin exists and that it may be even a part of our lives. We deny the fact that it's in our homes. So what we're doing is we're living in a lie. What we're doing is we're sinning again, because what happens is sin begets sin. It's a vicious cycle. So we deny it, and then it really leads to anger. I think too many times, instead of dealing with the issues, we just get angry about it, right? Instead of trying to figure out what's wrong with it, instead of trying to mourn and really experience the pain, we just get angry at our spouse. We get angry at our kids. We get angry at the situation. We just start yelling, right? Instead of just trying to fix through and walk through the scenario with them, we get angry and we yell at them instead of lifting them up. And again, sin begets sin. We live in this anger which destroys us, and it can lead us further and further away from Christ. In James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, so slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Human anger never fixes the problem. Human anger never leads to blessing. But instead, it continues this cycle. We go even to the next portion where we may even bargain, right? We bargain with our family. Maybe we even bargain with God. You've probably been there before. I've been there before, right? Where we make a deal with God. Like, God, if you would just help my family, right? God, if you would just bless my family, I promise that I'll never swear again. God, if you just fix my family, I promise I'll go to church every Sunday from here on out. God, if you just fix my home, I promise I'll read my Bible first thing in the morning, right? I promise I'll pray. I promise I'll do all these things. God doesn't want you to bargain. He wants you to do those things anyways, right? God wants you to mourn. He wants you to really fully deal with these situations. I think we do this with our kids too. This is classic parenting, and I do this all the time, and it's terrible. We say, hey, if you do this, I'll give you that. We bargain with our kids, but the truth is God wants us to go so much deeper than that. If we really don't mourn, if we never fully mourn, then we kind of get stuck into depression. This feeling where we just want to give up. This feeling like where instead of making a difference, instead of making an impact on our families, instead of making an impact on our homes, we just settle. We just settle because we don't even care anymore. We feel completely stuck, which leads to acceptance. The acceptance of our sin. The acceptance of our struggles. The acceptance that, you know what, we're just going to be here for the rest of our lives. And this is exactly where Satan wants to take each and every one of us. And through this whole process, you never really seek comfort because that's not what Jesus is calling us to do. That's not what Jesus is telling us how to respond to the situations that we go through in life. He wants us to mourn. Again, if you look at the verse today, it says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Again, if you remember from last week, we talked about how the word blessed can be translated as happy. Happy are those who mourn. Yet again, here's Jesus, and it's another oxymoron, right? Happy are those who mourn. He's changing our way of thinking. He's saying happiness goes beyond just a warm, fuzzy feeling on the inside, right? He says happiness is going beyond just hearing a joke and laughing out loud. He says there's more than happiness. Happiness goes deeper than that. It's not just a physical happiness. It's not just a physical blessing, but it's a spiritual happiness. It's a spiritual blessing, and it comes from His comfort. His comfort is given to us so we can be delivered from the effects of sin. It's the reason Jesus came to earth. Again, God sent His Son to live a perfect life because He knew we couldn't, because He knew we all struggle with this. And then Jesus was on a cross, paid the penalty that each and every one of us deserved, but He was risen again. He was risen again to give us new life. Give us new life with power as well. And He gives us new life with power through the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 26, it says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." The King James Version actually says, instead of advocate, it says comforter. The Holy Spirit is our advocate. He's our comforter. And He's there to give us power. He's there to remind us all the things that Jesus has taught. Think about this. Imagine in your life when you face loss, when you faced a tragedy, imagine the fact and knowing that you would have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Imagine knowing that you have someone who's an advocate for you. Imagine instead of being depressed, instead of being overwhelmed by a situation or a struggle that you're going through, that you have a comforter, right? That you have an advocate for you. Imagine when dealing with neglect, when dealing with abuse, when dealing with a lack of love, that there's a comforter and an advocate waiting for us. Imagine instead of cowering in fear from sin, imagine if we could believe the words that we are no longer slaves because we have a comforter and we have an advocate for us. This is why we're called to mourn. This is why we're called to mourn. And it's a hard scenario. It's a hard thing to jump in, but I want to give you some action steps of what it really looks like to biblically mourn. First thing we have to do is we have to confess. Part of mourning is confessing. And confessing is clarifying our situation. It's where we stop lying to ourselves. It's where we stop lying to others. It's where we stop lying to God as well. It's where we stop living in denial. It's a part of mourning. It's acknowledging the fact that we are separated from our master. It's acknowledging the fact that we are in pain, that we are in a struggle. We must confess. We must state our reality out loud because the truth is, it is our reality. 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 through 10, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claimed we have not sinned, We make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Listen, if we claim that we have not sinned, not only are we lying to ourselves, not only are we liars, but we're making him out to be a liar as well. We must confess. Confession is a part of mourning that leads to comfort and leads to him purifying us and leads us away from unrighteousness. And James, it states it this way in James 5:16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Again, we need to confess our sins. Confess our situation to God. Confess it to ourselves, but also confess it to others. You know, we're not meant to do life alone. This is why we come to church, so that we can have people around us, that we can walk through things together. We're not meant to mourn alone. We're not meant to go through these struggles alone. We're not meant to go through losses alone. We're not meant to go through any of these things alone. We need to invite God into our weakness, and we need to invite others as well. This is why we do life groups as a church. It's a way to get together so that you can connect with others, so you can do real life together. It's an area where it's not judging people, but it's walking through things with people. To mourn and to place ourselves in a position where we can be comforted, we need to confess our reality. We need to confess our sin. We need to be honest about what we're going through. Listen, it's okay not to be okay. And part of mourning is realizing that. That's what confession is. So first we confess. And then the second thing we need to do is we need to respond. Once we confess our reality, then we need to respond to our reality. And responding goes beyond just brushing things under the rug. It goes beyond just hiding things. It goes beyond just denial. It goes beyond masking the pain with busyness. It goes so far beyond covering up the pain with different substances, such as medication. It goes so far beyond just trying to cover things up with drinking any type of alcohol, whether it's beer, liquor, wine, whatever it is. It goes so far beyond just eating your troubles away. There's so many things that we can turn to instead of God, but God's saying, respond by turning to me. It goes beyond just giving up and settling. It goes beyond feeling angry and depressed. Because responding is not just a feeling, but truly it's an action. And it's an intentional reaction to what we've experienced. It's fully experiencing the pain. It's fully experiencing the struggles of all the issues that we've gone through. But again, then it's responding. It's okay not to be okay. That's what part of mourning is. But it's not okay to stay that way. It's okay to be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. This is how we respond, by not staying that way. Don't just be depressed about your home or your family or whatever it's going through, right? Don't just accept it as the new normal, but respond. And respond biblically, which means this. It means that we repent. Now, this is a churchy word, but what it means is that we are completely turning from our action. We're completely turning from that mindset, and we're turning towards God. Part of mourning is repentance. We see this in the Old Testament, and a great example is in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 19. It says this. It says, after I strayed, I repented. After I strayed, I repented, right? After I came to understand, I beat my breast wept. I was ashamed and humiliated because I bore the disgrace of my youth. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that we all have some disgrace from our youth. There's something that all of us carry some shame that we continue to carry with us. There's something that we've probably done in our past that if it would come out, we would be completely humiliated. God's calling you to repent from that and to turn away from that and to turn to Him. Repentance is an act of mourning. We need to turn away from our sin. We need to change. We need to do a full 180 back towards God. In Acts 3:19, it says, "Repent then and turn to God, so that your sin may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Repent and turn to God. To mourn means that we respond through repentance and turning to God. And it means that we're going to have a time of refreshing. We have to respond. And then the last thing is we have to yield to His direction. Yield to His direction, which means instead of trying to fix everything ourselves, instead of trying to go our own way, instead of trying to make our perfect plan of how we're going to get out of this situation, we're yielding to His plan. Instead of just dealing with the struggles our own way, we fully surrender to Him. This is probably the toughest action step, right? Because I think so many times we want to be in control. But when we yield to Him, we give up that control. To yield means that we are living out repentance, not just for a single action, not just for a day, but for a lifetime. So many times I think we want different results in our life, but we're not willing to do different actions. When we yield to Him, it means that we're willing to do the different actions to get the results that we want. Don't just settle. Change and continually change by following Him, by surrendering to Him. Don't just give in, but be all in with Him. Mourn to be close to your master by yielding to His direction. Meaning we intentionally seek out His direction through prayer. If you always wonder, like, where's God leading to me? Let me ask you, when's the last time you actually talked to Him about it? When's the last time you actually prayed about it? We also find His direction through Bible reading as well, through the Scriptures. He has everything written down there for us. If we're not continually and constantly reading our Bibles, we're not placing ourselves in a situation where we can hear what God has for us. How are we supposed to yield to Him if we don't know where He's directing us? And also through church. Again, this is an incredible way to come and to learn where God's leading you. Because you can see other people going in a direction as well. And you can follow them as they're following Christ. Right? That's what we're called to do. We're called to yield to Him. It means we adjust our life accordingly. Adjust our life to where our prayer life's taken us. Adjust our life to what we're reading through the Scriptures. Don't just read it and don't apply it, but actually apply it to our lives. Reinvest ourselves completely into Him and surrender all of you to Him. We confess, we respond, and we yield. And if you haven't figured it out, I got real cute there. It spells cry, right? The truth is there's times in our life where we just need to cry. We need to cry for and in our homes. We need to cry for and in our families. We need to cry for and in our lives. We need to cry to be closer to God. We need to cry for our Master. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Mourning causes us to stop on our tracks and truly change. And it's a change in the way we feel, but also a change in our actions as well, which leads to comfort. God promises us comfort when we mourn. Let's pray. Dearly Father God, we thank You for today. God, we thank You that as uncomfortable as mourning is, God, You call us to do it. God, You call us to get our emotions out and, God, to turn our emotions into action that point back to You. God, we thank You for speaking to us that way today. God, we thank You for calling us to be a Christ-centered home in every situation, in every scenario that we go through, God. God, we ask that You will help us to mourn. Help us to soften us, to even break us in some instances so that we can experience Your comfort through mourning. God, help us not just to be numb to life, but help us to fully experience it, God. And then help us adjust to it, God. Help us to adjust to it so we can truly change and we can yield to Your direction. God, we ask these things in Jesus' name, God. We pray that You do a work in and through each and every one of us. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangedchurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.